Today, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the life that you've given us, that you've restored to us that was lost in the garden. Please let the words that come out of my mouth today be your words and not my words. And let everyone be edified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, I like December every year because it means I get time off, because as a contractor, people don't bother you in December because they've got their own stuff going on. Last year we had COVID during December, and that was pretty disappointing. And so this year I was really looking forward to December because I was going to have, oddly enough, I was going to have an entire month off. And a friend of mine called me and said, hey, I lost my number two guy and I'm swamped. Can you come help me? I was like, all right, I'll give up a little bit of my free time in December and I'll go help this guy. So I helped him for about a week and a half, and then Mary brought home the flu. And so then we had the flu up till Christmas, and I didn't feel like doing anything. And so I ended up having 2 days of an entire month to try to cram everything I wanted to do in that entire month in. And I was pretty angry at God, because that's always so funny. I think when we put stuff on a pedestal, God goes, eh. Remember, I'm God. And it was funny because I griped at God the whole time. And then just as I was getting better, he brought the scripture to me from Paul, and Paul said, your grace is sufficient for me. I'm like, God, couldn't you have brought me that scripture at the very beginning so that I could have not just been torqued at you the whole time? I was mad that I was sick, but I was mad that Gabby was sick again. You know, Gabby's been sick since November, on and off. And I was like, God, your word says that we're supposed, you know, it just says, ask anything in my name. And so, to me, that means ask anything in my name, and I'm going to, you know, do it. And I'm like, okay, good. Your word says it, so do it. And it was funny. The guy that I was working with, I asked him, I said, so what do you think about this? He goes, scripture says ask anything. He goes, well, I don't ever expect God to do miracles. And I'm like, what kind of mindset is that you don't? I mean, I think to me, it's like you've probably prayed and God hasn't done it, so you're just like, God doesn't do miracles. Which is dumb, because this word says that he does miracles. I'm not even going to teach on miracles today, but I mean, it's God said he'll do it, and it's in his word. And it's funny because Alex Posey from Dallas gave my number to some fella, because he came here thinking, because our church website still says we have a Sunday night church, so he showed up and he called me. He's like, hey, are you guys not here? And we're like, yeah, we haven't had Sunday night church since my dad died, so sorry about that. I'll get that changed on the website. But he ended up talking to me, and then he was talking to me about this this Baptist preacher from Lubbock or something anyways, who was all about healing. I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this guy. This guy's, because I mean, I know I've told you that before, I've been racking my brain and reading the word going, I don't understand this whole healing thing. And so I listened to this guy, and this guy, his wife and daughter were killed in a car wreck, and the grandbaby was in the back seat. And you know, her eyes were disconnected from her brain, and her spine was disconnected from the everything, and she was messed up. Her legs were all messed up. And this guy prayed for a month, and this grandbaby, who was over here in Cook's, was dead. I mean, there's no way she was going to survive. And every bit of her was healed. And I'm like, God, that guy's a Baptist. He's even a legalist. Why are you answering his prayers? You're not answering mine. He doesn't even know you just do it because you love us. He thinks he's got to be good. I'm like, do I have to be good? Are you saying I have to be good? And I'm like, no, but your word says I can't be good. So I'm like, I don't understand, God. Grace, his grace is sufficient for me. I need to, the thing is, I think a lot of times God just wants us to trust him. And we're always, you know, because as soon as, when you're in the fire, you cry out to him. And as soon as the fire is gone, you just go back to your life. And God's like, I need you to be in a fire a little. You need to trust me. It's like, I do trust you. And then the fire's gone. You're like, all right, I'm going to do my own thing now. And God's like, no, you didn't learn. Trust me. I'll take care of everything. So that's where I'm at. It's been good. I hate being sick. It's such a waste of time to me. Not that I don't waste enough time when I'm not sick. It's like, what's the deal? I'm already going to waste my time. I have stopped playing Rocket League, so that's good. Hallelujah. Mary got mad at me one night. It was funny because I'd deleted it off my Xbox, but I still played it on the computer. And And I had been praying. I was like, God, I just don't want to do this anymore. I was like, it's just such a, I mean, I enjoyed it, but it was just a waste. I always thought it was going to be a witnessing tool, but never was. Foolish thought. One day I will lead somebody to Christ on this game in the 8 minutes that I have to talk to them. Gabby was sick and Mary needed some help, and she's like, why are you never available? And I'm like, fine, I'm going to just delete it off the computer. So I deleted it off the computer. She's like, why'd you do that? You love that game. I'm like, it's good. I knew it was coming. You know, you know when God's working on something. Because I told him, I said, God, you get rid of that. I can't get rid of it. I can't get rid of my own sin. You got to get rid of that. Not even, I don't know if it was a sin or not. It was a sin because it was a distraction, not because it's a sin. But whatever we think our sin is not our sin. It's something else, you know. It's what it causes us to do or what it causes us not to do. So, well, with that being said, I'm going to start with John, first Gospel of John, John 1. and it actually came from the fact that I was reading John 14:14, which says, ask anything in my name. I'm like, all right, God. Well, if chapter 14 says ask anything in my name, I'm going to start with chapter 1, and we're going to get up to that point. Because that's the problem, is people will take a scripture and they'll go, I'm claiming that scripture. But you got to have all the scriptures before that and all the scriptures after that, because maybe you missed something by just reading that one scripture. There's a lot of religions that have started over just one scripture. So in Genesis, which is what it says back there. It says, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God. Plural God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that's what John 1 is about. That's the only, I know a few Hebrew words, and that was one of them. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, that's the other one I know. He that cometh in the name of the Lord. You guys need to know that one. Because we do, we come in the name of the Lord. So remember that one, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. He that cometh in the name of the Lord. So I've thought about learning Hebrew. I think it would be really hard. They have an app for that. I'm like, yeah, but they have a different alphabet. I can look at it in this book here, and I still don't understand it. John chapter 1, Gospel of. In the beginning was the Word. The word in Greek is logos. It's fun. If you guys don't have a concordance, one of these big old fat books where you can look up the Greek and the Hebrew, you need to get one of these. If you get one of these Bibles, it's got the little numbers over it. You always wonder, what are those numbers? Coordinates with what's in this book. It's great. So the Greek word is logos. It means the word. but not just words, but it's like life-giving words. It's the life. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1. But how did he do it? He spoke it all into being. And so it's life. When God formed us, he spoke into us and we're alive. He did not speak into animals. Animals they're alive, but they're not alive. We have a spirit in us. We have his spirit in us. We are alive. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And this is important, because this is all about, you know, you have some religions that say Jesus is a God, you know, Jesus was a prophet, Jesus was a really smart guy. There's a lot of people that, even though they don't believe in God, they're like, well, Jesus had a lot of really good words to say, and we should listen to him. But, by the way, the Word is Jesus, just so you guys know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So in the beginning, it's always been around. All things came into being through him, and without him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. So nothing has been made without God. There's some joke about scientists, and they said, God, we're so smart now, we can do anything. We can do anything you can do. We can create new life, blah, blah, blah. And so God said, okay, well, we'll have a contest. And so God created some life, and the scientists said, okay, it's our turn. And so they started. He said, get your own dirt. God created everything. Man can't do anything. God already created everything. We can't make anything new. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible tells us that. And that's awesome. It's already all been made. So, without him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overtake it. In the King James, it says, comprehend it. And it kind of means it. It doesn't understand it. It can't grasp it. Because there is no life in darkness. All life comes from Jesus. I look up that word light because it's, we know what light means, but in the Greek, it's phos. I thought it was interesting because the previous word before phos, which means light, but it means, I can't remember. But anyways, the previous word is phone. And it was talking about phone and phos, they're together, and it just means speaking into light. It's like wow. So our word phone comes from speaking into light, which is electricity traveling over wires. It's like they didn't. I always thought that was some man-made word. That's an old Greek word from a gajillion years ago. It's like it just means speaking into light. It's like the guy that it wasn't Bell. Maybe Bell came up with that. Phone, I don't know, but it's a Greek word. It means speaking into light. So, and there was a man sent from God, and his name was John, not the Gospel of John. We're talking about John the Baptist. And he came for a witness, that he might witness concerning the light, that all might believe through him. He was not that light, but he might witness concerning the light. But he might witness concerning the light. He was the true light. He enlightens every man coming into the world. So Jesus is the true light who enlightens every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. And yet the world did not know him. It's so funny. They don't. And we're believers, and often enough, we don't. It's like we're in him, and often enough, we don't know who he is. We forget. That's why you got to spend time with him. When you have a relative and you don't spend time with them, like my sister Cara, she lives in Virginia, and then before that, she lived in Connecticut. I don't know her because I don't spend time with her. I call her every once in a while. We talk every once in a while, but I don't know her. She's my sister. She's my blood. How do I not know her? Because she lives far away. I don't spend time with her. That's with God. You got to spend time with God every day, or you forget. You forget what they look like. You forget what their voice sounds like. You forget what they said to you. You forget how they believe. You got to spend time with God every day. It's so important. Because then you get sick, and then you get mad at God, and you forget, oh yeah, your grace is sufficient for me. I don't need to be mad. I was just wasting enough time being sick, then I was mad too. That was even more of a waste of time. It's like, He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. Because everybody was created by him, and they didn't want him. It's crazy that I still don't understand. I know the Bible says that their eyes are darkened, but it's like these guys who know the scripture so well, when I preached last year, I was preaching on all the prophecies. It's like you guys have been waiting for this guy and waiting for this guy, and this guy fulfills every prophecy that's in the Bible, and yet he doesn't say what you want. So you're like, that's not the guy, because he is ruining our meal ticket. It's like, no. He answered every prophecy. How do you not see that? It's because he's not what they wanted him to be. You know, God often is not what we want him to be. We want him to heal us immediately. God, why aren't you doing that? The Bible says that a father's not going to give a child a snake. Well, I would heal my kid immediately. Why aren't you doing it? You're God. You should be better than me. Why aren't you doing it? I don't understand God. The problem is I put my own projections on who God should be. God is more wise than I am. I don't know why I stayed sick. I don't know why Gabby stayed sick. I don't know why Mary stayed sick. Though she always gets well first. That's not fair. It's that country living. When you grow up in the country, you eat dirt all the time. You know, your constitution is better. Us city folk, we get sicker quicker. So, but we don't understand God. But that's okay. That's why we spend time with him. We get to know him. The word is so amazing, and you see things, and you're like, and you can almost put them together, and you can almost connect everything. But it's because we don't spend enough time in the word that we can't. I think that's why my dad was just in the word constantly, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. And he was able to connect that stuff. I can see it. I mean, it's like my spirit knows it, my spirit receives it, and it can connect it, but my brain cannot. It's like, I know that's true because it says something like that over here. Why can't I connect that? But there's, like, the Bible is like any other, it's not like any other book. You know, in any other book, you read it from beginning to end, and it all kind of makes sense. But the Bible, it's like God is so unique in everything he does that you have to spend time with him, and you have to talk to him, and you have to read his word, or else you don't understand it, because it doesn't seem to connect, but it does connect. But as many received him, to them he gave... Okay, let me go back a little bit. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become children of God. To the ones believing into his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. In the youth room over here, it says born from above. Because that's when you receive Jesus, when you say, yeah, Jesus died for me, God loves me, you're no longer of this earth. You're no longer the will of the flesh. You're no longer the will of man. It has nothing to do with blood now. Now it has everything to do with spirit. And that's something we don't understand. I mean, you go to other countries and they understand witchcraft and spiritualism and everything. And we've gotten rid of all that because that's hokey. And we don't understand any of that. But the spirit realm is very alive. And there's a few times in the Bible, we were talking about this morning, there's a few times in the Bible where men's eyes were opened and they saw the spirit realm and they were scared. Because it's a whole world we do not see. It was fun. I watched a movie one time, I can't remember what it was, but it was literally about advertising. It was the whole premise of the movie. It was a fictional, fantasy type movie. But it was like this guy, his eyes were open and he could see that all of advertising was these spirits that would attract people's eyes and they would fall for whatever was being advertised. And it's like oddly enough, that's pretty poignant. It's like 99% of what you think you need, you don't. It's all, the older I get, the more I realize that. I'm like, stuff is just stuff and it's just a burden. It's like that. There's no joy in it. There's only joy in God. Only joy in God. Movies, TVs, video games, whatever. There's none of that can bring you joy. You know, alcohol, food, exercise, work. It doesn't bring you joy. You know, I mean, it's interesting because, we work and we work hard, but we don't work for the money or work for the person you're working for. We work for God. And that way we can be happy because Jesus loves us. He's happy with us. And we're just doing what we're doing because God put it in our path to do. It has a nice consequence of, we get paid so then we can pay our taxes and buy food. And it's like this world is messed up. And somebody was talking about this today. We've let this world become messed up. We have lost focus of who God is, and so we accept all sorts of premises that aren't real. we've got ourselves into bondage. Somebody said to me the other day, he said, why is it that every time I try to do something, I get bogged down in the minutia of it? And I said, well, it's designed that way. The devil designs the world so that we don't have time to spend with God. We just have to constantly be working so that we can pay the bills and pay our taxes, so we can get up the next day and pay the bills and pay our taxes, and there's no time for God. That's it. It's just a distraction. But we can laugh in the devil's face and go, hey, devil, I can work and spend time with God at the same time. It's like, I can do it. God has already knows who I am, what's going on. He knew what you were going to do. He already knows. I don't understand how the devil doesn't know God's plan. I mean, it's in the Bible. I guess God hides it from him, because I'm like, devil, you know you lose in the end. He still thinks he's going to win. It's like, no, you lose in the end. Why are you even still trying? If I knew I was going to lose in the end, I'm like, I give up. It's like, but he's still trying. He thinks he's going to win. This is the best part right here. This is the part that sets us free. I'm going to go back one verse. I'm going to go back a couple verses. Who are not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but were born of God. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. So the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. Jesus said, I am going to come down to earth and do what nobody has been able to do, which is be perfect. I mean, the law says be perfect. Be perfect, you go to heaven. Here it is. Be perfect, go to heaven. So now the Word became flesh, and Jesus was perfect. And one day he would die on the cross and atone for our sins. And so now we get in. We get in because he became flesh. It's, Adam, Eve, sin, kicked out of the garden. God said, don't worry, I've already got a plan. I mean, it took a while. We always think, that's the thing is we always think things are going to happen quickly. We're set up to things happen quickly, but things just do not happen quickly. Everything just takes time. Hundreds of years, thousands of years. And it's like we think our lifetime is so significant in the fact that it's going to happen in my lifetime. It's like, why? Why does it necessarily have to happen in your lifetime? Just do what God has put in front of you. Stop worrying about doing something important and just enjoy your life. It's like God can give you something important to do by just enjoying your life. Just doing what he's got set before you. It's fun. It's awesome. I don't know. And maybe it's because we always read books, and books are always so, like, wow, that guy did this and that guy did that. And it's like, why can't I do something like that? It's like, I don't know. Is that, rich people are probably less happy than I am. It's like because they have to take care of all that stuff. But that's the same thing with adventurers. They have to do the next thing. They climb this mountain. Now they got to go climb that mountain. Now they got to climb this mountain. It's dangerous because they got to do something greater. It's like, is there really any joy in that when you're done? When you get off the hill, have you added anything else to your life? You haven't. It's funny. My father-in-law bought a new car years ago, and he's like, I got a new car. He's like, and I was like, okay, good. I was like, are you excited about it? He goes, really, the fun is just going out and researching it. And then when you get it, it's like, it's a car. It just gets you from point A to point B. You think it's going to be this, and it's not. It's because God is our only happiness. God is our only joy. A car is a convenience. It's great. We don't have to take a wagon or a horse. We can get to Dallas in 30 minutes instead of 2 days. It's just quicker. I don't know, a horse probably faster than 2 days, maybe a couple hours. I have no idea. It has one horsepower. So I don't know where I was going with that. I totally lost my train of thought. The dumb horse joke. He's tabernacled among us. So that's awesome. So Jesus is in us. Jesus is here. He came down for us. And we beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father. So only begotten means he's unique. There's nobody else like him. He's the only begotten. Full of grace and of truth. So those are two really, really important things. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And man, it's funny. Years ago, I've been listening to, it was funny, David last week in Dallas was talking about how he loves listening to politics. And I spent this whole week just listening to politics. And it's amazing how I got so disillusioned. I don't know if that's the correct word. My eyes were opened because, you know, Dad was so involved in politics, and we'd go to all these conventions and do all these things, and I realized that all the people that were supposed to be united with us and on our side were all backstabbers and liars and deceivers, and these were the Christians. These were the people that said, God is good, and I believe in the Bible. This wasn't even the other side who's like, who's God? That guy's a jerk and's getting in our way. You know, it's like, these are the people that were supposed to be our, you know, compatriots, supposed to fight beside us, and they were all jockeying from, and the odd thing is I'm a very good liar, and I hate it when people lie. And it's funny, because it's funny when Mary will go, well, Gabby said thus and so. I said, she's lying. She's like, well, how do you know? I'm like, because I'm a good liar, and I can see it. I know she's lying. I was a great liar as a child. I knew all the tricks. So you can't, it's hard to lie to me, because I'm very good at it. But I hate it. I hate it. I'm just like, just be honest with me. Because what lying does, you know, there's the term that's now, it's popular again, it's called gaslighting. It ruins your whole idea of what something is. When you find out something is a lie, then you have to go back and back and back and back and go, well, if this wasn't true, and if this wasn't true, then this wasn't true, and then you have no idea what your reality is. And it totally destroys your reality, and it distorts it, and you have to figure out what's true. God is true. Everything in this book is true. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, let God be true and every man a liar. God will tell you if that person's lying. You can just say, God, is that person lying? Or is that? I mean, it doesn't really matter. They could be lying right to your face. God will still protect you. Whenever I mess up, God, cover that. You know, if I listen to someone incorrectly, cover that. If I made a mistake and, you know, I shouldn't have done that, cover that. And he will. And that's the grace. It says right here, grace and truth. So God is true, and when we mess up, he can cover us with grace. We shouldn't be seeking the grace, but it's there when we need it, because sometimes we lose sight of who God is and we make a mistake, and that's nice to know that, you know, he's already covered that. John witnesses concerning him and has cried out, saying, this one was he of whom I said he coming after me has been before me, for he was preceding me, and out of his fullness were all received, and grace on top of grace. So it's like, I mean, that's what we need. That's what's funny to me is when people think that they're like, well, I'm good, and I, you know, I don't do anything bad, and I live a pretty good life. It's like, man, just accept the fact that you're wicked, and when somebody cuts you off in traffic, you want to blow them off the road, and when that guy cut in front of you in line at the grocery store, you wanted to kick him in the back of the knee or whatever. You know, it's just like, admit it, you're wicked. And then let God love you and cover you with his grace, and then live through you. And he said, I am in you to will and to do. And when you see those things start falling away, you go, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I am dying and he is living in me. Because that's the true test. It's like people, when you realize you're doing things you wouldn't normally do, you're like, when I see some guy at the there's a CVS by our house, and there's always people out there begging, and I'm just like, and I know they're not poor because they're out there every day. I'm like, you guys must probably make a better living than me. So it's like, but sometimes God just says, go in and get them some food. And I come out and I give them some food. I had somebody one time that I said, I don't have any cash. He goes, well, do you have a debit card? I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, the gall of that fellow. You are definitely not getting my help, even if God tells me to. So, but, you know, it's like just his grace has forgiven so much for us that we can easily have grace for other people. When you look at politics, a lot of times what you see is you see the depravity of the world, and you, as a person, you want to be self-righteous and go, golly, how could that person be such a jerk, an idiot, you know, evil, wicked? And then as a Christian, you go, wow, I could be that person. But God's grace has covered me. His truth has opened my eyes so that I'm not falling for the world's tricks, for the devil's tricks. I should be praying for that person. I daily have conversations in my head with, because I never get to meet any of these people. I never meet any people who think they're another gender or homosexuals. It's probably because I'm not ready. I'm not ready because I probably would say something stupid and then ruin my complete witness to the person. I want to know that when I confront someone like that, immediately I'll show them God's love. I remember when I first started the college group, the first question they had was, what do we do with this homosexual thing? And I was like, you can love a person without justifying their sin. You say, I love you. I disagree with the way your life is going, but I love you. And people don't know that. People can't separate, like the word, the God separates between the person and their sin. Your sin is already covered. Your sin is not the problem. You just need to accept God. God loves you. Even if you give your life to God and you still do that sin, one day God will get rid of that sin. He'll work on it. He promised He would. That's great. He said, the thing I began in you, I will surely finish. That means if you give your life to God and you still keep living in sin, you're like, God, why haven't I given up this sin? Why haven't I given up this dumb video game? God will take care of it. It'll go away. I don't even think about it anymore. I don't even want to play it. It's like gone. It's been 2 weeks, and it's like, the devil will go, hey, you could reinstall it. And I go, yeah, I don't want to. It's gone. It's out of my life. God takes things out of your life. And it's like Pilgrim's Progress when the burden falls off his back. It's like, oh, there's one less thing that was holding me to this world. One less thing in my mind that said, that's important. And it brings you joy or peace or whatever. And it was. When I'd stress out, instead of rejoicing, I'd go play that game because I could just mindlessly play it. And I could just shut everything off. And I don't, you know, it's like, I don't need that. I need to turn to God. And it's fun. I know, I don't remember if it was Jeff or David. I think it was Jeff was saying, or maybe it was David. We need men who are totally sold out to God. And that's all they want. And I know that's what God's doing to me. And I hate it. Because I'm like, I have to die. I can't be me anymore. But you know what I'm finding is it's actually very peaceful dying to this world and giving up this world. It's actually, there's so much joy and peace. And like your mind isn't just cluttered with stuff. It's just like, give that away and give that away and let that go and let that go. It's like, it's weird when you, you're sitting at home and you're like, well, I could do that. And you're like, I'm just going to get the Bible out. No, that is not normal. Who does that? But I'm finding myself doing that lately. I'll just get out the Bible and read the Word. That's not what in our human mind brings us joy. But it is. It's life. This is life. This is life. Everlasting life. You know, it's awesome. Now I'm going to get, now the devil's going to come after me. It's going to be good. I'm going to say, devil, you're an idiot. I used to have that bumper sticker that said, poop on Satan. I love that bumper sticker. If anybody ever sees that one day, buy it. I'll put it on my truck. And out of his fullness, we all receive the grace on top of grace. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the law was good. Remember Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, to fulfill it. The law was good because it showed us we couldn't be perfect. And then Jesus said, good, let me be perfect, and then you come on in through me. It'll be good. So, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son is in the bosom of the Father, and He reveals Him. So we get to see the heart of the Father through Jesus, and we get to see Jesus through the Holy Spirit that's in us. And this is the witness of John, that when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem that they might ask him, "Who are you?" And he acknowledged and did not deny. Yea, he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." So it's like they were already thinking it. They're like, they're already thinking, is this guy, you know, is this guy saying he's the Christ? And he's like, hey, I'm not it. So it's like, how could they not just immediately jump to Jesus? But they didn't, because Jesus was not saying their program. You know, it's like the Catholic Church is having a resurgence. People are just, they want to have Latin Mass and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, man, you guys pray to saints and you venerate Mary. And it's like, it's not, it's in the Bible. It says not to do that. It's like, ah. So these guys, he didn't go along with their program. And so they didn't like Jesus. I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you a prophet? And he answered, no. And they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? Why is he not a prophet? What do prophets do? They tell about the future. Jesus was there. So he's not a prophet, because he's not going to tell about something that's going to happen. He's talking about what was happening right then and there. What do you say of yourself? And he said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Make the way of the Lord straight. As Isaiah the prophet said, and those who had been sent by the Pharisees were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? It's like, they're like, what authority do you have? And we all know what authority he has. He has the Holy Spirit in him, because when he was in his mother's womb, he leapt, and he had the Holy Spirit in him. John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit in him. And the cool thing is he was the last guy filled with the Holy Spirit before Jesus came and then said, hey, you come on and be on my side, and you guys all get to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So John was the last person to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, because it was, you know, King David and just all these different people, you know, the God would put his spirit in that person and they would rule. Remember, Saul had it, and then Saul messed up, and, you know, it's awesome that we, now anyone who receives God, you have the Holy Spirit. John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but one stands in your midst whom you do not know. He is who comes after me, who has been before me, of whom I am not worthy that I should untie the latchet of his sandal. These things, so John had a huge following, and he's saying, I'm nothing compared to this guy that's coming after me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoe. You know, I mean, when Moses stood before God, he had to turn his back. John is saying, I'm not worthy enough. These things took place in Beersheba, Bethabra, beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. On the morrow, John sees Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's pretty bold. He had the Holy Spirit in him, so he knew. But I mean, to say that, hey, here comes the guy that's going to take away the sins of the world. I mean, that's bold. Because, I mean, automatically, all the Pharisees and Sadducees are going to want to kill him for saying that. Because they're saying, oh, you're saying this is God. This is the Messiah. This is he about whom I said, after me comes a man who has been before me, for he was preceding me, and I did not know him, but that he revealed to Israel. For this reason I came baptizing in water, and John witnessed, saying, I have seen the Spirit coming down as a dove out of heaven, and he abode on him, and I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize in water, that one said to me, on whom you see the Spirit coming down and abiding on him, this is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, and I have seen and I have witnessed that this one is the Son of God. So there we go. John the Baptist saw him. John wrote about it. John, Gospel of John, John wrote about it. It's, you know, it's funny because like when I was sick and I was yelling at God, you start to wonder, you know, God, your word said if I ask anything in your name, it's not happening. So then you go, well, do I not understand who God is? Am I reading it wrong? Do I have something in my life that I need to get out of? Is God real? You know, you start to go, all this crap comes into your head. That's just the devil. Sorry for saying crap. Now I said it twice. All this junk comes into your head. And it's just the devil. Because we don't realize that his grace is sufficient for us. And we lose sight. You know, God can speak to us when we're sick, when we're healthy, when we're working, when we're with family, when we're on the mountaintop. You know, we always think I got to get out of the city and I got to get on top of a mountain where there's nobody there and then I can hear God. Why? Why do you got to go so far away to hear God? How about you just sit down in your bedroom and get quiet and listen to God? So I know, I mean, it's easy. Like if I go into my office, I'll see the computer. I go, oh, the computer, I could just go waste a bunch of time. So it's like, it's an effort. And so that's why the mountain is so much easier, because there's nothing around. You know, your cell phone doesn't work, and you just the Bible and a water bottle. But it's just it. It's because you're still tied to this world. And that's why other things can be more enticing than God. But the more time you spend with God, you realize that He is it. He is everything, and nothing else is important. And on the morrow, John and two from his disciples stood and looking at Jesus walking. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speaking and followed Jesus. But seeing them following, turning, Jesus said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translated is called teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. And they went and saw where he was staying and abode with him that day. And it was about the 10th hour. I meant to look up when the 10th hour was. I don't know it because I'm sure it's not our 10th hour. And Andrew, so the Bible needs to be a little more specific on what the 10th hour was. Is it? Okay, thank you. And Andrew, the brother, and Simon Peter was one of the two and heard this from John and had followed him. This one first found his own brother, Simon, and told him, we have found the Messiah, which is being translated Christ. And he led him to Jesus, and looking at him, Jesus said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. Jesus sees him and is like, I'm going to give you a new name. You're like, I just met you. Yeah, why are you changing my name? And on the morrow, Jesus desired to go into Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. And Philip was from Bethsaida. There's Bethsaida. I knew it was in there somewhere. And of the city of Andrew and Peter, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, and Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Nathanael said to him, I always think this is so funny, but this was so poignant that he had to put it in there. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That'd be like us talking about like Cleburne. Can anything good come out of Cleburne? So sorry if somebody lives in Cleburne. It's a pretty little town. Philip said to him, come on, come and see. Come on, see, y'all. So throw some Texan in there. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said concerning him, behold, truly an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said to him, from where do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, being under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God.
you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, from now on, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I'm going to stop there. So, we got to be in the Word daily. We got to read it. I'm still only in Proverbs. I've made it from Genesis to Proverbs. I got kind of bogged down there for a little bit in Job. still don't quite. I know there's more meat in Job because it's a random book to be in the Bible. It's like, why would you put that in the Bible, God? I mean, it just, now every time something can, you know, afflicts you, you're like, oh, it's a Job moment. You know, it's probably not. It's probably you just got sick because you were eating poorly. So it's like, but, you know, it's in there. It's important. We have to realize that God is God. You know, what at the end of Job says that, you know, God was like, were you there at the beginning when I created everything? You know, can you wrestle with Leviathan? You know, I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, you're right. You're God. I'm not God. You know, I assume, I know what's in my finite mind, but really what's important is not even my mind, it's my heart. Because the thing is we're always thinking with our head and not with our heart. Because God, what does it say? Where do we hide the Word? We don't hide it in our head. We hide it in our heart. And that's where God speaks to us. That's because the heart, I don't know, randomly I saw something that said the heart is kind of like a mind. It actually has the ability to do things. I don't know where I read that, something random. But it's like it has its own brain in the heart. It's fun to see. I don't know if somebody saw my post about the earthworms. Did you guys also, anybody see that on Facebook? So earthworms, you put them in your compost bin, and they'll eat everything in the compost bin except for the seeds. That's God. I mean, how would an earthworm know, I can eat everything in this garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He goes in and he eats all the compost, but does not eat the seeds. Why? Because the seeds need to produce new plants. God programmed into that earthworm, you can eat everything in here, but don't eat the seeds. You know, things like that just show you there is a God. God is real. God is alive. It's like, and it's time and time and time again. Because I got my degree in science, and I learned a bunch of stuff, and I see in the real world how God created things, how things just line up in the plant kingdom and in the, you know, in the people kingdom, it just all lines up. And it's proof that God is real. It's proof that God loves us. He spent so much time and attention to detail, just things that don't seem important to us, were important to him because he knew it would bless us. So spend time in the Word. Get to know him more and more. The world is falling apart, which means they're going to need us. They need us to be real. They need us to be dead. Spirit, you know, not dead physically, but dead to this world. So that when they come at us with all their vitriol, we can just love them. And they'll be broken. It will break them because they won't understand it. Because when you love someone who is evil to you, they don't understand it. And it breaks them. And that's what Jesus did for us. We were evil to him, and he died for us, and we don't understand it. But we accept it, and that's what he wants us all to do. He wants everyone to accept it. So, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for just destroying us so that we could be full and happy and alive. Thank you that you said, if we save our life, we'll lose it, but if we lose our life, we'll gain it. And it doesn't mean anything to us, but we trust you. We trust you because only truth comes out of your mouth, and you know what's going on, so we trust you, Father, to lose our life so that we can gain the whole world. So, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Monty, will you do the benediction for me? Amen.